Merkle Media.
In the United States, every president in the last half century has been a war criminal. That's a fact. That is a fact.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for a lockdown.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody feeling? Hopefully you're doing well. Hopefully you're out doing something productive. You're working out. You're gardening. You're getting things done. You can listen to this and do other things at the same time. I won't be offended. It's cool. Hey, thanks to our sponsors so much for their continued support. Chemical Free Body is getting us prepared physically. We know that we need to be prepared in other aspects of our lives, but the physical preparation is essential. Tim James is building the best vitamin supplement company out there. Chemical Free Body is not just the name, it is a philosophy. There are no chemicals in his products. I take them every morning. I take a scoop of Green 85 in 12 ounces of water, stir it up, and drink it. It looks awful. I will not lie to you. It looks like you're drinking seaweed, but it actually tastes pretty good. You would be surprised. It certainly doesn't match how bad it looks, but it works. I feel great. I noticed the changes in my body. It's been impressive. If you're interested, go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. You can watch a little video I made. You can check it out, see if it's right for you. There's no hard sell here. I don't need to hard sell it. The products speak for themselves. They're really good. I can say that with 100% certainty because I'm also a customer. I've got it. I've been sending it to my mom. My mom's taking it. So I'm a believer. Check it out. Get yourself physically ready for what we're about to face. God knows it's probably not going to be good. And also, you know, since we're talking about getting prepared, preparewithmacroaggressions.com is a great landing page that was built for us by My Patriot Supply. They have all kinds of things available there. Not just our 4-week supply of food and the 3-month supply, which they definitely have, but you can get all sorts of products. Not just food, but gear and just about anything you need there. I would suggest taking a look. Be proactive on this. You don't want to be reactive. It's the worst thing that you can do. You don't want to be fighting with the masses out there trying to get to the grocery store when CNN announces that the supply chain is broken down and every moron that you've ever seen is now fully masked up with their, well, they've got 3 masks on and they're down at the grocery store trying to fight you for a bag of rice. You don't need that. You don't want that. You can order this stuff online. You don't have to deal with any of the headaches of it, or they'll just ship it right to your house. Go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and See if it's right for you. That's all I ask. And if you're not getting prepared there, get prepared somewhere. Start thinking about it. Don't freak your family out, but start thinking about it. Oh, boy. Well, the new book is finished. It is edited. It is formatted. It is ready to go. The only thing I'm waiting on is the cover. We are finishing up the back of it now. So that will be out shortly. As soon as it's available, I will let you know. The book is called Hypocrisy, but it's spelled Hypocrazy. And the tagline is Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. And we get nasty in that book. I mean, it's funny. And I keep it. Everybody's got a smile on their face. But I'm saying some things that are quite controversial and true. It's a 335-page book. It's got 480 footnotes in it, okay? So I'm not just calling out the insanity. I'm documenting it. I'm footnoting it. I'm showing you where you can go to find where I got this information. I'm not making it up. I don't need to make it up. You don't need to make this stuff up. There's so much insanity out there. All you have to do is document it, you know? Transcribe it. You see that happening? Write it down. So this book took 2 years to write. It was, I started it before Controlled Demolition was finished, actually. And I think that this one is going to probably make a lot of people very mad. Not because it's not true, but because it is true. Because the information in the book is going to point to a much different version of reality than a lot of people live in. And they'll probably not appreciate that. The woke mob is going to hate me, period. They will. And you know what? Good. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. You people are ridiculous. You need to be called out for it. I didn't just get in there and start calling you names. I documented the things that you had been saying over the years. I put your craziness in context. I showed your words. I showed the insanity of the things that you think. You woke people are nuts. You really are. And you're the biggest hypocrites out there. You really are. You're not to be taken seriously. You're to be mocked at every chance you get. If you see if there's somebody at your work that has pronouns in their bio, you should rightly not sit next to them during lunch. They are probably contagious of something. I don't know. They've got something. They definitely have brain worms. If you've decided that you need to put pronouns in your bio or in your email signature or something like that, just admit that you haven't had an original thought in a long time. Just admit it. Just admit it, because you are only doing that because you're feeling this weird pressure from the left. And that is pressure that shouldn't matter. You know, I don't care what those people want me to do. I did see somebody that had some great pronouns though. Their pronouns were he, haw. And I thought, well, if I ever had to put pronouns in my bio, it would probably be that. But that's just one component. That's just one component of the book. And it's one of eight, to be fair. But I'm going to take a little segment from the book and go over it in this episode. Now I've taken a chapter from the book before and put that out through activist posts just to see what the response was. I didn't tell anyone it was from the book. I just put it out as an article, but it really was a chapter from the book, and it got a great response. So I knew I was on the right track there. I made some adjustments to it. But within the first section of the book, there is a chapter called In the United States. And In the United States is meant to show, these are little single sentence, you know, it's one sentence. It's not necessarily one line, but it's just one sentence that shows, you know, the shit show, really. Like what's going on inside America. And a lot of you that are in America, you'll recognize this. You'll nod your head and go, oh, yeah, I recognize this. We see this all the time. This is actually happening. For those of you outside of the United States, you may go, wow, you guys are living in a dysfunctional country. You are correct. We are. The United States is broken. It doesn't mean it can't be fixed, but it is currently broken. It's being run by the worst people. The policies are being enforced by the weirdest people. And the smart people are sitting back going, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't want to participate in your insanity any longer. And these flaws in the book, you know, they're made to kind of make you laugh a little bit, frustrate you, you know, show you some inefficiencies that we're experiencing here. And but really more just to highlight that for all the great things America has, and it has many of them, many great things have come out of the United States. I'm not an America hater. I love the country, don't love the government, but I am an American. I wish that we would go back to the way we used to be, or at least the perception of how we used to be, which was a leader in culture. You know, blue jeans and baseball and apple pie and that sort of Americana concept. Yeah, it's a little hokey, but still much better than being known for drone bombs, right? So there was a different time when America was well respected, and we had a different reputation. We've of course squandered all of that goodwill that went out the door, especially after 9/11. But we've let the lunatics in, and we've let them run society for a while. And really what you get are you get a list of things that should never really happen in the United States. But I'll just jump into it. And so this chapter, if you buy the book, you'll read it and you'll go, oh yeah, I remember that episode. We already kind of went through this. But in the United States, hospitals routinely charge patients up to $800 for an IV bag filled with sterile salt water that wholesales for $1.90. Interesting, yeah? Good business to be in if you can get it, right? Marking your products up 400 times more than wholesale is, criminal. I get if you're a hospital, it's criminal. In the United States, people drink products like Gatorade, Powerade, Fresca, Mountain Dew, and Fanta that contain a chemical called brominated vegetable oil, which is banned in Europe and Japan due to its dangerous health risks, and it is also used as a flame retardant. Did you know that? Are you aware? Are you drinking Gatorade? Did you know that there is a flame retardant in your Gatorade? If your car catches on fire, you can just dump your Gatorade all over it, I suppose. I don't know. In the United States, the government tells the people that they cannot afford things like improving education, healthcare for all, infrastructure improvements, high-speed rail projects, cleaning our polluted rivers and air, ending homelessness, feeding the hungry, and treating wounded soldiers coming back from the Middle East, because they have to prioritize the important aspects of American society, like the $12.8 trillion for Wall Street bailout, the $6 trillion for wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, another $1.4 trillion for the failed F-35 fighter disaster, and the essential $20 billion that goes to the oil companies for subsidies. This is why we can't have nice things, as they say, because the money that we would use for infrastructure redevelopment or ending homelessness or making sure people have food through the missions or charity organization. No. We don't have the money for that. We just don't have it in the budget. Oh, you need a $400,000 F-35 helmet? Oh yeah, how many do you need? We can get as many as you need. Don't worry about that. Yeah, priorities, man. Priorities. In the United States, the Congress is full of greedy, power-hungry, pedophile psychopaths that have been intentionally compromised so that they can more easily be controlled by the interests with the leverage and the dirt, just like Jeffrey Epstein. That is true. That is a component of American society that most people don't know about, that your p- politicians that are in the highest rank. I'm not talking city council or anything like that. I'm not on a local level. I'm talking the ones you recognize, the big ones, the ones you see on TV, on C-SPAN and all these political channels. Those people are there for a reason, not because they're the best and brightest, but because they're the most controllable. They have shown during their rise to this position that they can be controllable, or that they have aspects of their lives that are easily manipulated. Somebody likes a lot of money. You know, you can get to them that way. Somebody's got a, you know, secret drug problem. You know about that. You don't talk about it. You keep it on the down low. Get them to do the things they want you to do. Maybe somebody's a pedophile. Get them some kids. Maybe you don't even have to get them some kids. Maybe all you have to do is do a deep fake with them. They're controllable, right? You get into Washington, D.C. You have this power. That power is valuable. People want to manipulate that power so they can manipulate you. It's easier to manipulate one person. You get some dirty politician in Washington, D.C., you can make them, you know, if you compromise the president of the United States with blackmail material, then you become the president of the United States. You know what I mean? Like, essentially, like, if you've got the goods, if you've got the video of Joe Biden doing something besides, you know, sniffing kids' hair, which he, you can find compilation videos of that. But if you've got him doing something else, then you can tell him what to do. You know, like which reporter to call on. And I think we're witnessing in real time a president that is compromised and is being controlled. How many times do we have to hear him come out and say, "I'm not supposed to take any questions"? Who's telling the president what to do? I thought the president's supposed to tell people what to do. Well, somebody's telling him what to do, telling him to call in Nora O'Donnell first, telling him to not take any questions, telling him to go here and not to go there and say this and don't say that. He's controlled. And I would suggest that that's not limited to the United States, but in the United States, like, it's standard operating procedure. If you're going to be a big shot politician, you're going to be compromised in some way. In the United States, a man who donated his mother's body to an Arizona Center for Alzheimer's research discovered that it was sold to the United States military for $6,000 so that it could be strapped to a chair and blown up in a blast test. Yeah. And there's a footnote. In the United States, the government loves people so much that they add fluoride to the water supply because it's so good for their teeth, even though there is a warning label that says, if swallowed, contact poison control. I'm going to have to do a whole episode, I think, on fluoride and how that became a thing in the United States. It was not, please tell me, you know, it's not for your teeth, right? Have we established that? You got to buy the fluoride-free toothpaste. You can get Tom's. There's some other brands out there. Get the toothpaste without fluoride in it. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It lowers IQ points. There's a Harvard study, not that Harvard is the end-all be-all, but there is a Harvard study that shows that fluoride exposure to developing fetuses, you know, lowers IQ by several points. And look, we need all the points we can get. We shouldn't be in the business of giving away our IQ points, right? We're going to need them. God knows there's enough dummies out there that we have to deal with on the freeway or at Walmart and on a daily basis. We're going to need these points. And so if you can take the step just by knowing that fluoride causes cognitive functions, the story behind fluoride is that, well, there's two stories. One is that during Operation Paperclip, the Nazis explained to the scientists in America, hey, are you guys putting sodium fluoride in the water? And they're like, no, why should we? And they're like, why would we? And they said, oh, we used to use it. It keeps everybody docile. And they're like, oh shit, well, we like that. So that's part of the reason why it's been there. But another part of the reason was that Edward Bernays, the founder of the inventor of the public relations term, you know, he was hired by Alcoa, an aluminum company of America, to devise a way to spin the use of fluoride as something good. In the production of aluminum, one of the byproducts was sodium fluoride, and Alcoa was ending up with all of this sodium fluoride byproduct that they didn't know what to do with. They were kind of stuck with it. Edward Bernays came in and said, oh, you've got to, you know, why don't we create a campaign where we can just say that this stuff improves like your teeth, like the quality of your teeth, and then see if anyone buys it. And that's what they did. And people did buy it, meaning buy the story. And the next thing you know, it's being bought by municipalities and added to the water supply. So they took this toxic byproduct from the manufacture of aluminum, the sodium fluoride, which is rat poisoning, and convinced people to buy it from them so that they didn't have to pay to dispose of it. They sold it, made money on it, and the people would then add it to the water supply. Like think about the insanity of that. And it's for your teeth. So the government cares about your teeth. Why does the government care about your teeth? Has anyone ever asked that simple question? I mean, maybe they would now after the COVID situation where you go, why does the government care whether or not you have a vaccine or not? It's very suspicious to me and to many other people. But the original thought was, why does the government give a shit about my teeth? Well, the answer is they don't. And it doesn't improve your teeth. And I don't know why dentists are putting it in there, probably because they're just following what they've always done, which is where science has definitely got some things wrong. So don't use fluoridated toothpaste, for God's sake. In the United States, the IRS insults people by calling them customers. Those bastards. Let's just go off of that for 1 second, since we're on the topic of the Internal Revenue Service and as a component of government. The government that's talking to you about how important your health is to them, for some reason, just magically all of a sudden they give a shit about your health. They don't actually, right? They don't tell you to eat well or not drink Cokes or get exercise or be careful of sugar or any of that, or don't smoke or don't drink. All that stuff is legalized and promoted and sanctioned and all that. They want you to take a vaccine, and they're super interested in that, and they say it's for your health. Now, I would ask you this. Are we not talking about the same government that runs the IRS? And the IRS, their job is to basically make your life hell, to claw back money that you earned, to take your money, to use it to pay down the debt of the Federal Reserve, the interest on the federal on the money that they've borrowed? Do you think so? That's what the IRS does. Their Gestapo agency, that's whole job is to steal your money. And that's a government agency. And that's their job, is to treat you like shit, flip you over, take your wallet out, steal as much money as they can get away with, and threaten you. But they love you and want you to be vaccinated because they care about your health. Do you understand this insanity? This is backwards. The United States, or in the United States, the government is always trying to tell the people that weapons and violence are not the answer to solving problems, while they use weapons and violence to enforce all of their rules. They're hypocritical that way. We've got to watch out for gun violence. Just look at what gun violence is doing in Chicago. When will we learn we've got to ban the guns? Oh, we're going to take the guns away from the military? Oh, no, we're not doing that. No. In fact, we need more money for guns. Yes, we're the biggest seller of weapons in the world. Yes, we're the bigger biggest user of weapons in the world. Yes, we're the biggest manufacturer of weapons in the world, but weapons are dangerous and we need to remove them from you. You can't have guns because guns are dangerous. Yeah, but you make all the guns. Yeah, well, in the United States, the government borrows money from China in the form of selling them treasury bills, then uses part of that money to pay American farmers to not sell soybeans to China. Try and wrap your brain around that logic. In the United States, a Michigan mother was arrested after she took away her daughter's cell phone as punishment and was placed in a cell for 2 hours, even though she was breastfeeding her newborn baby at the time of the arrest. And eventually the case went to an actual trial where it was thrown out, but not before wrecking the woman's life for months. You see, the government cares so much about you that they're willing to throw you in a cage if you punish your daughter by taking away the cell phone that you bought for her. This is in Michigan. I don't suspect that we're alone in the world and with crazy stuff like this happening. God, after I see what's going on in Australia and Canada with COVID, I mean, they've got their own versions of this stuff. You know, we could do in Australia, which would frustrate me, the poor Australian people. We're thinking of you guys out there. We really are. We hope that you find a way to stand up to your authoritarian government because they're the worst. In the United States, Parkland school shooting survivor and anti-gun campaigner David Hogg shows up to his book signing protected by armed guards. I haven't done a show on Parkland. I don't even know if I will. But I'll say this about David Hogg. I have two videos of him talking about the day of the shooting. I have one video of him, and this is not like, this is like ABC News, like legit sit-down videos, interviews. We have one interview with him where he said, I was at home when the shooting happened. I grabbed my video camera. I grabbed my camera and got on my bike, and I rode to school as fast as I could because I knew I needed to be there for this. Then I have another interview of him where he says, I was sitting in my environmental studies class when this went on. So, which was it, man? We've got a problem with your story, David Hogg. You've told two very different stories. You're lying in one of them, maybe even both of them. Which one is it? Because you can't be at home, hear about the thing, and then drive or ride your bike to school while also being at school when it happened in that classroom. You can't have those two different stories. And yet he's told both of them and it's on video. So why is anybody listening to this guy? I know you aren't. But why is anybody else listening to him? In the United States, the government does not negotiate with terrorists. They arm, fund, support, and train them instead. How much equipment just got left behind in Afghanistan? $85 billion? 85,000 million dollars worth of equipment left behind in Afghanistan. Let's see. 33 Mi-17 helicopters, 33 Black Hawk helicopters, 43 MD-530 helicopters, 4 C-130 transports, 23 Embraer EMB Super Tucanos. I don't know much about planes. 28 Cessnas. 10 Cessna strike aircrafts. Shit. They're strike Cessnas? Never heard about that. this is I mean, that's a lot of aircraft left behind. 22,174 Humvees, 634 M1-117s. These are like kind of like they look like sort of like APCs. 155 MXX Pro mineproof vehicles. That's the big SUVs, like the big gigantic ones. 169 APCs. 42,000 pickup trucks and SUVs. Probably could have used those. 8,000 transport trucks. 162,000 radios. 64,363 machine guns. I wonder if those are going to make their way into the hands of the, quote, terrorists. 16,000 night vision goggles. Those are worth something. You couldn't have just put those in a fucking crate and sent them back? You couldn't have gotten in the airplanes and flown them to Qatar or someplace? Or, I mean, these weren't broken down aircraft. They weren't broken down helicopters. You could fly them out. Look, I understand if you don't want to move 42,000 pickup trucks back to the U.S., fine, whatever. But what is your excuse for leaving 358,530 assault rifles behind and 126,295 pistols and 176 artillery pieces? This is not accidental. So when I make the comment that the government does not negotiate with terrorists, they arm, fund, support, and train them instead, that's a factual statement. And I am of the belief that we didn't accidentally leave that material behind in Afghanistan. We had months of time to make decisions logistically. I mean, they have whole logistics teams there. That's their job. Inventory, track, transport. Make sure that the equipment is in the theater when they need it. Make sure it's getting repaired. Make sure it's sent back when you don't need it anymore. That's their job. That's what they do. For them to leave this much equipment behind, the only explanation is that it was intentional. That's it. Because you could load up a C-130 with all those machine guns and fly them back. You don't think we could use them? I mean, the 1033 program has recycled almost $10 billion worth of weapons back into the police force. For free, you know, just for the cost of shipping and handling. It's all they charge them. Just have to fill out a request form, put what you need. You need an APC to go conduct raids on the wrong house in the middle of the night. If you're some shitty police force, well, then you can get it. You just have to go through the 1033 program, figure out how much it costs to ship one of those things to you, and it's yours. We've been doing that since 1998. So you have $85 billion worth of material sitting out there in Afghanistan. You know you're leaving Afghanistan. You've put a timetable on it. You can't walk that stuff out of there? I mean, stop. In the United States, it is required to have identification in order to buy alcohol, cigarettes, drive a car, buy a car, rent a hotel room, gamble in a casino, open a bank account, apply for food stamps and welfare, get on an airplane, buy a gun, get married, apply for a fishing license, rent a house, collect unemployment, pick up medical prescriptions, buy a cell phone, adopt a dog, apply for Social Security, buy Sudafed, or even enter certain government buildings. But people do not need an ID to vote. And if you ask for an ID, you're racist. It's just clown world. Is it not? And the irony of Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred, who's the worst commissioner in my lifetime, moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta to Denver, where I'm from, which I would not go to out of protest. because of the voting laws requiring, Georgia wants to change their laws to require IDs to vote. Yeah. And what's the problem with that? We're up in arms. That's racist for some reason. Okay, it's racist. So what are you going to do about it? Well, we're going to pack up the All-Star game and we're going to relocate it last minute. We're going to move it to Denver instead. That'll show them. Except that Denver's also requires ID to vote, you dummies. And actually, it's a little bit stricter, more strict in Colorado than it is in Georgia. You really showed us, Rob Manfred, you fucking moron. And guess what? The economic output that it cost the city of Atlanta was estimated at $100 million. And the city is now suing Major League Baseball, along with all the black organizations there. You know that Atlanta is 70% black by demographics. And the businesses that it impacted, you just can extrapolate out. A lot of them are going to be minority owned, considering that the population is heavy African American. So you took away $100 million worth of economic impact that could help Atlanta, a city with a high black population, and punish them by moving that economic impact, you know, that $100 million that comes with hosting the All-Star game and the hotel rooms and the restaurants that benefit and the taxis and everything, you know. And you moved it to Denver, a place that is as white as the snow. Let me tell you, I live here. It's Honkyville. Let's be honest. This to me is in line with like the Aunt Jemima stuff and the Land O'Lakes butter, where you're like, we're going to solve racism by taking all the black people off of the products. That'll teach them, right? Like, you put the faces on to show inclusiveness with them, and now you're taking them off because you're an idiot. But welcome to America, where nothing makes any sense anymore. In the United States, things are so backward these days that warmongers are writing foreign policy, criminals are writing the economic policies, racists are writing the immigration policies, fossil fuel industry insiders are writing the environmental policies, billionaires are writing the public education policies, and you shape public opinion through fear, intimidation, distractions, and the division of the public. Of course, in this, I am referring to the people that Trump put in his administration to run the various segments, Betsy DeVos running education. I mean, to say that's idiotic would be an understatement. You've got fossil fuel guys running the EPA. You've got, you've just got the worst people. You've got Wilbur Ross in charge of the Secretary of Commerce, a guy who's a criminal himself, who was sued for stealing like $100 and something million from people in different business deals. I mean, these are criminals. These are criminal billionaires. Then you're putting them in charge of these policies and acting as if like that's a normal thing. It's not normal. We're not supposed to do that. And that's not limited as a criticism of Donald Trump. I think every president does stuff like that. But look, that's the one who's doing it now, or at least was doing it for the last 4 years. In the United States, the suicide rate is up 34% since the year 2000. And is now the second leading cause of death for Americans age 15 to 24. That is a sad indictment on our society. COVID's contributing to that. That's a problem. You know, the masks, the social distancing, the isolation, the putting kids in, you know, in the hula hoops, making them sit far apart from each other, all that stuff. That takes a toll. It's impossible to quantify, too. How do you measure that? How do you measure the damage you're doing? It's having an effect. People are feeling disconnected. We are We're social beings. You know, we need interaction. Even the most introverted, even the most, you know, isolated person, we need some form of social interaction. When you don't get it, it does something to you. We have to have that. It can impact the way you think. It can send you down a path of some really dark thinking. If you've lost your job as a result of these bullshit lockdowns, or you've had your boss fire you, or now we've got vaccine mandates that are coming through, and people are like, I'm not taking it, but my company is going to fire me, or my company did fire me, or whatever. It's putting people in positions where they feel like there's no hope. And some people are taking that to a very horrible extreme. And if you are feeling alone, you are feeling like you're better off dead, I encourage you to reach out and get some help, talk to people, because that is not a place you want to be. I've had that in my life through one of my best friends, and it's rough. It's awful. It's the worst. So if you're feeling down, you're feeling like you're on your own, you're not. Reach out to somebody, do something, please, please, please. Send me an email if you have to. I don't care. You're just, please don't do anything. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. In the United States, the average American kid can recognize 1,000 corporate logos, but cannot name 10 animals or plants that are native to their region. My daughter can sing commercials all day long. She knows all the songs, especially those pharmaceutical jingles that they put out. They're really catchy. That's the power of marketing. And TV, right? That it works really well to keep people's attention. You know, you can get a lot done with the power of television. I'll tell you, that's no joke. In the United States, seatbelts are mandatory for all cars and trucks. But when it comes to school bus full of kids, then never mind. They're just automatically safe because of magic. Have you ever noticed that? They are, there's no seatbelts on school buses. Think about how insane that is. They're little kids. I mean, if anyone should have the seatbelts on, it should be in the school buses. But they just said, fuck it. Oh, we roll this bus and all these kids get thrown out the window. It happens. Whatever. Just kids. We'll get a new bat. We'll make more. In the United States. I can't even read this without laughing. It's so fucking embarrassing. In the United States, Taco Bell was voted the best Mexican restaurant. And 16.4 million Americans think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. And I've got a footnote for it in case you were wondering. I brought the receipts. I'm not making this up. I mean, it sounds like I'm making it up, and part of me wishes I was making this up, but I'm not. Taco Bell was voted the best Mexican restaurant. For those of you outside of the United States, let me just assure you, Taco Bell is not in the conversation for best Mexican restaurant in the United States. It just is not. It's not in that discussion. And if it is in that discussion, well, then you haven't had real Mexican food then. I maybe I'm spoiled being a Southern California guy. You get a lot of great Mexican restaurants there. Obviously, there's a Hispanic influence that comes up and you get some good ones. If you've ever been to Las Brisas in Laguna Beach, you know what I'm talking about. Some good Mexican food. But Taco Bell ain't it, okay? I'm just telling you. And chocolate milk comes from brown cows sounds like, well, it sounds like something that I'm making up, but unfortunately I'm not. And so those 16.4 million people, you know what they do? They get jobs, they get driver's license, they get on the freeway. That there's somebody that might be driving next to you today in their car, presumably with double masks on, I would assume, right? That can't wait to get home to drink a great glass of chocolate milk from their favorite brown cow. We are surrounded by morons. 16.4 million is not an insignificant number of people. That will fill up the Rose Bowl 164 times. Think about that. We need to start over. We need to start this country over again. Those people are definitely taking the booster shot, I can assure you. In the United States, in the last 40 years, the cost of college tuition has increased by 1,120%, while the pay of minimum wage workers fell by 5%, according to the United States Labor Department and Bloomberg. We're going the wrong way on this. We're definitely heading in the wrong direction. In the United States, the cost of food over the last generation has increased by 244%, while the pay of the average worker has only risen by 10% in comparison. This is an economics discussion that could happen just off of this one little sentence here, because inflation is destroying this nation. We've been seeing it lately here since Biden got into office, but it's not limited to him. Let's not try to pretend that it's all his fault. The Federal Reserve is who's responsible for inflation, because they're the ones in charge of the money supply. They are inflating the money supply. And when you inflate the money supply with more units of currency, then the value of each unit of currency is lowered. So it's a long story, but inflation is very devious. And if your food costs are increasing by 244% over the last generation, you better hope that your compensation is increasing by 244% as well, or else you're falling behind. And of course, we're falling behind. In the United States, the teenage pregnancy rate is higher than any other industrialized country on the planet, and 110 million Americans have sexually transmitted diseases, with 20 million new cases reported each year. Not only are we stupid as a country collectively, we're dirty too. This is not a recipe for success. When you've got too many people that all have STDs, this is not a good thing. Now we can add vaccine damaged to that too. Oh, God, get me off this planet. In the United States, 40% of all births happen outside of marriage, and 1 in 3 children grow up in a home without a father. That is a huge problem. Now, growing up in a home without a father is only a good solution if growing up in a home with an abusive father is your other option. So clearly, you don't want that. But having two parents in the household has been proven scientifically, like through tests and looking back over generations, it's been proven as the most effective aspect of making sure that your children have success in life, meaning graduating from high school, keeping them out of jail, getting them a job, doesn't even have to be a good job, just having a job in general. Having two parents in the household has been shown to be the most important factor in that. Not to say that it fixes everything all the time. We know that. I'm not trying to make a sweeping statement like that. But if you have the choice between a single parent home and a two parent home, it's better with a two-parent home. I had both in my case. I had a two-parent home till I was 16 when my dad died. Then I was in a single-parent home. But by that time, I was in boarding school anyway, so it had been for a couple of years. So I wasn't really in the home, but it matters. And I think a lot of people have decided that, well, it doesn't matter. There's so many single parents, and I'm not saying that being a single parent is a bad thing. In fact, it's a heroic thing. If you know, the alternative is being in a no parent family, right? Where your kids get put into the foster care system. So single parents, I'm pulling for you. Believe me, I'm 100% pulling for you. But if you have the option to keep that family together, it's better for the kids, provided that it's not some sort of abusive situation that you're trying to escape, or, you know, a drug situation that you're trying to escape. So in the United States, the Georgia Guidestones propose a push to reduce the human population by 90%, while the World Health Organization pushes to vaccinate 90% of the world's population. You notice those numbers? Isn't that interesting? I also noticed another number that kind of is aligned with that. Remember what Fauci was saying? He wanted to get 70% of the world, of the country vaccinated, right? That was his goal, 70% vaccination rate. We've got to get there. I mean, he really ultimately like 100%, but he'll settle for 70%. Remember Deagle? Military industrial complex company that the think tank that manages military purchases and looks at geopolitics and forecasts what these militaries around the world might need in terms of bullets to buy and guns to buy and soldiers for their army. When they put out that report showing the population in 2015 and the population in 2025 and how America went from 340 million in 2015 and showed a population of 99 million in by 2025. Do you know what that reduction in population was? 70%. Probably just a coincidence though, right? That it lines up exactly with the percentage that Fauci's trying to vaccinate. Look, I hope it's not the case, okay? I don't want to be right about this. I want to be wrong. I want to be really wrong. I've never wanted to be wrong about something so much in my life. But we've got questions about the vaccines, and we start to see these pushes for numbers. Whether it's Georgia Guidestones wanting to reduce 90% of the population and the World Health Organization wanting to vaccinate 90% of the world, or Fauci saying 70% of the America needs to be vaccinated, and Deagle showing a 70% reduction in population by 2025. I'm just saying that there's some connections in these numbers, and I don't know that they're random. I think there might be something to it. Hopefully there's not. In the United States, ISIS is nothing more than a propaganda tool to spread fear among the minds of Westerners and to continue its fake war on terror. That's true. That's not limited to the United States either. I mean, I know that everyone in the Western countries have been scared with ISIS. ISIS isn't coming to get you. You don't have to worry about them. They're not going to invade your country. They're not taking over. But your governments need you to be fearful of these things. Even though if you charted this whole thing out, it would be at the very bottom of your list. It'd be like below murder hornets on your list. And yet we need more money to defeat the ISIS murder hornets or something like that. In the United States, some smart people have come to the realization that American history is a giant lie sold to them by their government schools, financed by the Ponzi scheme that is their monetary system, and reinforced by the corrupt corporate media. In the United States, nationalism encourages people to take responsibility for stuff they did not have any part in and pushes them to hate people that have done nothing wrong to them. A lot of people out there talking about how we got them terrorists, you know? Really? I didn't. I don't remember getting off my couch and going out there and getting the terrorists. I don't remember any part of that. In the United States, every president in the last half century has been a war criminal. That's a fact. That is a fact. They should be treated as such. Instead, they're given Nobel Peace Prizes and have streets named after them and get Netflix deals. It's disgusting the way we prioritize things. In the United States, ISIS and the Taliban have Twitter accounts, but conservative commentator Milo Yiannopoulos and former President Donald Trump were kicked off. I wonder if the Taliban have pronouns in their bio on Twitter. Their pronouns are was, were, right? They don't care for the gay community too much in the Taliban controlled. Can we talk about the Taliban for a second here? Can we recognize that of all of the armies in the world, they have an incredible fashion sense? I mean, I have never seen anything quite like it. I'm used to uniformed soldiers, you know, desert camo, or, you know, Vietnam, you had like tiger stripe, or, you know, you had the traditional green camo. I'm used to, you know, Marines and their dress attire, you know, where they look super sharp. They look like $1 million. And then you've got the Taliban, and they're all wearing different uniforms, like costumes, really. But I'm kind of joking, and I'm kind of not, when I say that, like, at the rate this crazy woke culture horseshit is going, I fully expect to see, like, Paris Fashion Week, the Taliban collection. Like, oh, Mohammed is wearing this orange smock by Fendi. Just amazing with Louboutin sandals and Hermes scarf, goggles by Oakley. You know, I mean, you can see it right now, right? Like walking down, like, oh, the Taliban collection this fall is fire, baby. We got to get it, right? And then you go to like Saks Fifth Avenue and it's like $16,000 for a Taliban outfit, you know, like the real high end shit. I mean, I'm kidding, but I'm also sort of not kidding at the same time. I think when you start to see like Fifth Avenue, or, you know, like the fancy shops in New York City, they're going to be, you know, all the rage is, Taliban outfits. And, look at this, beautiful vest that he's got with this little pillbox hat. He's accessorized with a beautiful AK-47 and this RPG that is to die for, you know. Yes. Oh, look at, oh, what's that, Hamid? Oh, look, Hamid's looking especially sassy this evening in his, this outfit works well on the battlefield and at home. You know, I mean, oh, I'm making myself insane just thinking about this. In the United States, modern medicine has finally achieved its goal. Almost everyone is sick. In the United States, now with 5G, people can download movies and catch cancer faster than ever before. 5G is dangerous, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure it's dangerous. I had Matt Landman on. He explained how it works. He understands the technical side of that a little better than I do. I'd tell you to go watch the video of it, but YouTube gave me a strike for it, so you can't. So you'd have to go to Rockfin or Odyssey or Iconic to watch it. And frankly, you should be there anyway. They'll be participating in the YouTube thing if you can't. No, and I'm not saying you have to cut the cord completely from them, but start getting yourself comfortable with making that move over to Odyssey, over to Rockfin, Iconic, BitChute, whatever. The platforms that you feel comfortable with, the ones that aren't actively censoring people, bookmark it. Get comfortable going over there. Start going over there. Make that transition. Vote with your dollars, vote with your attention, vote with your eyeballs, vote, you know, do the things that you know you should be doing. You want to check out YouTube from time to time to catch some videos that maybe aren't on the other platforms? Okay, I get it. But start that process of moving yourself away from them, because they're not on your side. They don't want the same things you want, and they're making things increasingly difficult for content creators, so. In the United States, if one so much as questions the government, then they are branded a Russian agent. And if they do not support endless wars in foreign countries, they are then anti-American. Boy, it's really true. It's really true that that's how things have gone. You're just anti-American if you're not on board with staying in these endless wars. In the United States, the dumbed down will virtue signal on social media about which brand of COVID vaccine they took, and in some cases, even brand themselves like cattle with a tattoo to memorialize the injection date. If you have taken the vaccine and then got a tattoo to show that you've taken the vaccine, you are in a segment of society that I could not have any less respect for if I tried. Really, honestly, I look at you as almost, I don't know, just somebody that will be sprinting to be at the front of the line to get themselves in the boxcars to be resettled in the East. You just don't understand what's going on, and I have no respect for you. In the United States, the overriding philosophy of American politicians is that it isn't terrorism if the United States does it. In the United States, HUD, Housing and Urban Development, estimates that there are about 40,000 veterans that go homeless every night. So much for not leaving anybody behind, right? I guess that just applies to the battlefield. Oh, it doesn't even apply to the battlefield anymore either, right? Since we left a bunch of people behind in Afghanistan. Ah, close enough. Whatever. You can't leave them behind when you bring them home either. Can't take these guys, train them to be soldiers, send them off to these bullshit unwinnable wars, put them in harm's way, ask them to commit unspeakable acts just to get themselves, just to keep themselves alive so that they can go home and see their mother. Scramble their brains, experiment on them with vaccines, God knows what, have them come home with Gulf War syndrome. You know, that's vaccine related. PTSD and all these things, and then abandon them or turn them over to the VA hospital, those hospitals that are overrun with broken pipes and rats. It's reprehensible what we do, and we do it all the time. In the United States, when the government questions its citizens for suspicions of a crime, they call that an investigation. But when the citizens question their government for suspicions of a crime, they call that conspiracy theory. It's what we deal with. In the United States, restaurants have replaced plastic straws that come in paper wrappings with paper straws that come in plastic wrappings. Because we care about the environment, of course. In the United States, the military pollutes more than 140 other countries combined, but they're still going to lecture you on climate change. In the United States, from 1932 to 1972, the American government secretly infected black people with syphilis and allowed it to run through their community and spread without informing them or providing them with the medicine that would have cured them. That is unacceptable. But not surprising when you consider that in the United States, the government poisoned alcohol in 1926 in an attempt to curb alcohol consumption during the Prohibition, and as a result, by 1933, they had killed over 10,000 of their own citizens in order to scare people away from alcohol. If you think they won't do that with the vaccines and with COVID, you are out of your mind and you don't understand history. This is how they operate. Yeah, I know. It's not the same politicians in place now that were there in 1926 to 1933, but it's the same mentality. We'll wrap it up with this. In the United States, some places have the audacity to create free speech zones at places like the Democratic National Convention. Can you imagine? Nothing says democracy like having a separate place for free speech where you can just sit there in a cage and yell and scream and wave your signs and do your little protest far away from the convention, the Democratic National Convention, where you're supposed to vote for the person that's going to represent you and protect your liberties. And if you have a problem with those people and you want to protest, then they tell you to go to a free speech zone because America, right? What an embarrassment. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what we've got. We've got a new Discord channel, and I want to thank Helen in the UK. She is in charge of it. I'm going to put the link to the Discord channel in the description if you want to join. Please do. Don't be sassy. She'll throw your ass out. Thank you, Helen, for all that you've done. We appreciate it so much. If you want to get in there and have some fun. Full disclosure, I am still learning how to use Discord. So if you're in there and you're trying to talk to me or something and I don't answer you, I'm not being rude. I just don't know how it all works. So I'm figuring it out. And if you like this episode, please take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. That's the only way this show is going to grow, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for your support, and I will talk to you soon.